Welcome to Here's to Your Health with Joshua Lane. Here's to Your Health discusses the current thinking in wellness, bringing you the most influential thinkers in beauty, fitness, and longevity. Your host, Joshua Lane, was part of the Dr. Ann Wigmore team that helped bring wheatgrass, sprouts, and raw foods to a worldwide audience. And now the host of Here's to Your Health, Joshua Lane.
Welcome to this edition of Here's to Your Health. I'm your host, Josh Lane. We discuss animal welfare issues on the show on a regular basis because it's an important topic. And my guest is Amy Meyer. Amy's been a guest of the show before, and Amy is the manager of primate experimentation campaigns for People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. That is PETA, P-E-T-A, an organization I support because of their excellent work. And unfortunately, many of us don't realize that public universities and government agencies, these are taxpayer-funded institutions, are funding laboratory experiments that harm animals, and they seem unnecessary. They don't seem to result in any kind of positive health effect for we, the humans. And it is possible that public trust in science is being eroded when we find out about these experiments that seem to have no real scientific merit, but they do spend large sums of money. Amy Meyer, welcome to Here's to Your Health.
Thank you so much for having me.
No, Amy, I enjoy it when you're on the show, and I support the work of People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. What project are you working on?
Well, I focus mostly on issues facing primates in experimentation and really just focusing on the ways that animals are tormented and killed in the United States laboratories, from government agencies to universities and all the companies involved in getting those animals and breeding those animals on, you know, essentially factory farms across the world that ends up going into these U.S. Laboratories.
And what type of experiments have you and PETA examined and found to have limited or no scientific merit, and yet they are extremely cruel to monkeys or birds, that you would like to mention to the listeners?
Sure. I mean, there's honestly just so many different atrocities being committed by universities and government agencies of what's happening to animals in their laboratories. And some of them are so ridiculous, it's hard to imagine how they ever received federal funding in the first place. Like the one, there was an experimenter at Oregon Health and Science University that PETA found was using taxpayer dollars to get prairie voles drunk on the equivalent of 15 bottles of wine every day. And then they tried to see if these drunk voles were more likely to cheat on their partners. I mean, just absolutely ridiculous experiment happening. And so some are ridiculous, obviously not telling us anything we need to know about humans. But on the other side, there's also a lot of bogus experiments that are really horrific. So PETA was able to get footage from Texas A&M University that showed they were intentionally breeding golden retriever dogs to have muscular dystrophy. And these dogs' bodies were so ravaged by the disease that they had difficulty walking, eating, and even breathing. So the video footage we got shows these dogs with stiff legs struggling to walk. They had, you know, thick ropes of saliva streaming from their mouths because they were having trouble breathing. And I mean, it's just scratching the surface. And we were able to expose those experiments, and the public outcry was so tremendous that actually that laboratory has now shut down, and most of the surviving dogs were placed into good homes. But that's the kind of thing happening with our taxpayer dollars that really isn't leading to any gains for human cures and disease and treatments for these diseases that we desperately need. And there's better ways to do this science that will get us there quicker.
Our guest is Amy Meyer. Amy Meyer is with the organization People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, PETA. Amy, the things you, just two examples just gave us about the prairie voles and then the dogs bred with multiple multiple dystrophy, muscular dystrophy, those seem almost funny, not about the dogs, but about the voles, and yet they don't seem very scientific. And so I think sometimes people feel that the PETA organization, which espouses a vegetarian or vegan lifestyle, is kind of philosophically driven and not science-driven, and they see PETA as being anti-science. But the experiments that you mention and others as well, they don't seem really very scientific, but they do seem to be moneymakers for the university and the researchers. But moneymakers don't necessarily mean that they have any scientific merit.
Yes, that's absolutely right. And, you know, there's actually a huge team of PETA scientists on our team now, and many of them actually had got their start in careers that they themselves were put into these situations in these laboratories, and they saw that this is, it's just a joke. There's no need to be doing this, and it's causing immense suffering. And not only are we finding in universities these just curiosity-driven experiments that just on its face have no merit, but even the ones that, you know, people might think like, okay, well, maybe we have to be testing the drugs before we know if they're safe for humans. But if we're being scientifically thinking, and if we are looking at the data, it's just not panning out. The National Institutes of Health itself has found that 95% of new drugs that looked safe and effective when it was tested in animals goes on to fail when it gets to human clinical trials. So, you know, we've seen former directors of the NIH saying that we, like, the tests on animals hasn't worked. We need to do new things and find new methodologies for use in humans. The former director of the National Cancer Institute has said that we've been curing cancer in rats and mice for decades, but it doesn't work in humans. So it's not just PETA scientists saying this. This is like the industries and the agencies that are funding these experiments to the tune of $20 billion every year with U.S. taxpayer money. You know, they're even finding this too. I think there's just kind of an inertia problem that has been preventing the scientific community from switching to the alternative methods of science that will really get us the treatments and cures faster. So that's what PETA is really focused on now, is trying to get this strategy we've created, the research modernization deal, to phase out the use of animals in favor of more human relevant research methods that will give us more useful data to getting us the treatments and cures for human diseases.
Well, that does sound positive. I remember many years ago, Everett Dirksen, who was a Republican whip, had a very famous line. He said, you know, $1 billion for this, $1 billion for that. And after a while, it starts to turn out to be real money. So we seem to be wasting a lot of money that is spent. And when you object to it, people say, oh, you're anti-science. But really, it seems to be just kind of boondoggle money that really is benefiting, I guess, the university, because after all, the universities like to get federal funds, and the researchers. And so is that system breaking down now? Because there seems to be a lot of people who see these experiments not as science, but as commerce. They're just getting federal dollars.
Yes, I think you are absolutely correct there. More people are seeing this for what it is. It's a gravy train, money-making machine. And, you know, we're starting to really see some critical turning points and reason for optimism that this isn't going to continue happening. When PETA scientists presented our research modernization deal to the European Parliament, they passed a resolution to phase out animal experimentation. And just recently here in the U.S., the FDA Modernization Act, which put an end to the outdated regulations requiring animal tests in order for the FDA to approve drugs, was signed into law here. So there's been a lot of good progress. Of course, we need a lot more. So we're asking everyone to join us in urging the National Institutes of Health to redirect these billions of our taxpayer dollars away from the deadly and ineffective animal experiments, and instead start investing in the human research or human relevant research methods. And people can do that by simply texting the word WRONG, WRONG, text the word WRONG to 73822. And that takes you to our very simple form where you will be able to send an email to your member of Congress that's asking them to endorse PETA's research modernization deal. And, you know, I find a lot of optimism, too, because this is a bipartisan issue. People on both sides of the aisle want to be reducing government wasteful funding and want to be protecting animals and not needlessly injuring and killing 100 million animals every year. So this is really something that people on all sides can get behind very easily.
Yes, yes. Our guest is Amy Meyer. Amy Meyer is the manager of primate experimentation campaigns for People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. That's the organization PETA, P-E-T-A, a very good organization. Amy, may I ask, this is kind of a judgment call on your part. Are the European nations ahead of us on this idea of, I'll use the word, better science and less animal experimentation?
I mean, yeah, I guess that's hard to say, but I would say generally, yes. The number of animals being used and killed in experiments is higher here in the United States. We're also, you know, my areas is in the primates specifically. The U.S. is importing primates at much higher levels than any other country in the world. So we import about 30,000 monkeys into this country every year for this experimentation industry. And it's so much, in fact, that just last year, the IUCN had to uplist two of these species of monkeys that U.S. experimenters use, the pigtail macaques and longtail macaques. And in their reasoning for why they are now endangered, they blamed largely the U.S. primate experimentation industry because their demand has been so high for them that we are depleting their native populations in the wild and in the forests of Southeast Asia. So that's a pretty unique problem that the United States has created. But, you know, fortunately, people have been really upset by this, and there's a lot of tremendous action happening to do more to protect these monkeys. And PETA recently filed a formal petition with the Fish and Wildlife Service to get these monkeys protection under the Endangered Species Act. So hopefully we'll be able to stop this monkey abduction pipeline before we completely cause an extinction of these monkeys that the experimenters are demanding here in the U.S.
Amy, how long have you been working on this issue of better science as far as better testing rather than using animals? How long have you been working on this?
Well, I mean, I got my start when I was in college. In 2006 was when I first read a book about what's happening to animals in experiments. And ever since then, in different ways, I've been kind of on this path to trying to stop what's happening to animals in laboratories. It's become a passion ever since I learned about it, because it's just such a clear case for me that this is an area we can immediately stop animals from suffering. And it really, you know, it's benefiting such a small percentage of people, and it's only benefiting them financially. This is just a very clear-cut way that we can all easily end suffering and end this needless killing of animals.
Amy, this is a question, maybe it's philosophical. In the 15 years or more that you have devoted to this subject, are there more people listening to you, politicians, policymakers, the public? Because I'm guessing that 15 or 20 years ago, people thought, this girl may be well-intentioned, but just really doesn't really get it. What do people think now?
I think there's been a huge sea change in this issue. I really do. And the fact that we had the FDA Modernization Act passed is a sign of that. And there are more members of Congress being willing to speak out and to help PETA with our various campaigns and really trying to speak out for monkeys in laboratories, for beagles being bred in beagle factory farms for the experimentation industry. We're really seeing a huge sea change in people with power and what they're willing to do to help these animals. And, you know, there's a majority of Americans on our side who don't think we should be using animals in experiments. And so it's really everything's moving in the right direction. We just want it to happen a lot faster so that fewer animals are tormented and killed in these laboratories.
Well, that's actually good to hear. I appreciate, because after all, this is what you specialize in, and this is where your expertise is. Our guest is Amy Meyer. Amy is with the organization People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Amy, as we end the conversation, how can listeners of Here's to Your Health contact you to find out more about the good work of PETA?
Yeah, so they can check us out at PETA.org. You can see more information and videos that these laboratories have been trying to hide from the public. You know, we make that all available at PETA.org, and there's lots of ways you can take simple actions that make a huge difference for animals in laboratories. So just go to PETA.org, sign up to get emails of what's happening with PETA and what we're doing for animals in laboratories, and really be part of the sea change that's going to end these deadly experiments on animals.
That sounds very good. Our guest has been Amy Meyer. Amy Meyer with the organization People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, PETA, an organization that I have on Here's to Your Health regularly. I support their excellent work. And if I could say this, there are many organizations working to improve our health and also the well-being of animals. But I think that PETA has had the most success since it was founded in 1980. PETA is an organization that I salute. This is Josh Lane. You're listening to Here's to Your Health. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back after these important messages.
Medical scientists worldwide are encouraging people to eat more fish. Most American diets are low in cold water fish that are abundant in important omega-3 oils. DHA and EPA are the vital components of fish oil that provide healthy benefits. Not only are they crucial for brain and vision development, they're very important for cardiovascular health. Carlson, America's leading Norwegian fish oil brand, specializes in both great-tasting soft gels that are easy to swallow and fish oil liquids that don't taste fishy. That's right, Carlson provides the most extensive line of fish oils to meet all your needs. You can take Carlson fish oils with confidence, for Carlson fish oils are tested for purity, potency, and freshness. Ask for Carlson Norwegian fish oils today. That's right. Ask for Carlson Norwegian fish oils today.
Welcome to this edition of Here's to Your Health. I'm your host, Josh Lane. The idea of how can we improve our memory? How can we improve our memory and concentration at any age? And my guest is David Thoman. And David is a regular contributor to the show. And David specializes in this subject that is very popular these days and has been called nootropics. And nootropics, I guess, uses nutrition, certain supplementation, possibly medications that we can use to improve our well-being. David, welcome to the show.
Hi, Josh. Thanks for having me.
Happy to have you on the show. I enjoy our conversation. And David, by the way, is the author of a book which I enjoy reading through. It's called Head First. Head First, second edition, which I think is, by the way, a extremely good title for this subject of nootropics. Dave, tell us, please give us, the listeners of Here's to Your Health, a definition of what nootropics are.
Sure. Nootropics are a class of substances that improve brain function.
All right.
And they're also called neuroenhancers or cognitive boosters or memory enhancers. And they're usually natural. Some of them are semi-synthetic. In other words, they're extracts from plants, for example. Mm-hmm. But experienced biohackers like me make a distinction between nootropics and smart drugs. So nootropics, to my mind, are something that you do not need a prescription for. You can just go to your local Whole Foods store or vitamin shop and you can buy it.
Right.
If it's a smart drug, if you can't do that, if you need to get a prescription from your doctor, and that includes things like Adderall and Ritalin and Modafinil, things that the press mistakenly refer to as nootropics, I don't think they are. Nootropics are natural.
Thank you. Yes, yes, our guest is David Toman. Dave, I agree with you. Adderall, I do not think, is a nootropic. It is a medication, might have some effect, but it seems to have lots of terrible downside. But it's interesting the way the pharmaceutical guys would like to co-opt this whole area, because I think they sense that a good percentage of the American population feels that nutrition, that supplementation, has merit and is good for some areas of our health.
That's very true. And the reason why we call them supplements, dietary supplements, is because we're supplementing what we cannot get from food.
Right, right. Yeah, and I, on a personal level, have found that I'm a very careful eater, and that's paramount. But it seems to me that I get effect from supplementation that I simply can't get from careful eating. And I'm a careful eater because it's just easy for me. It makes perfect sense. Now, our topic is how to improve memory and concentration at any age. And that seems like a great topic for everyone. What are some of the ideas that you would like to mention to the listeners of Here's to Your Health?
Sure. I got into this subject. This was years before I started Nootropics Expert. I ended up in the hospital and I was diagnosed severe hypothyroid. And one of the symptoms of that was a complete memory loss. Hmm. And I ended up going to two different neurologists who tested me for early onset Alzheimer's and or dementia. And they did the tests and I did the test perfectly. And they said, well, it's not that. We don't know what's wrong with you. We can't help you. So I had to find out how memory worked in the human brain. And after a few years later, and I did, I dove into the clinical studies, learned how memory worked. And when I started Nootropics Expert, I have written two or three articles on memory. One of them is called Best Nootropics for Learning and Memory. And that's a deep, deep dive in how memory works in the brain. And once we find out how memory works, then we know which supplements or which nootropics can affect certain parts of that memory process.
All right. All right.
And I'll give you an example. In your hippocampus, acetylcholine, which is one of your is your signaling neurotransmitter, it stimulates astrocyte cells, which are then induced to release the neurotransmitter glutamate. Glutamate then activates inhibitory neurons, which inhibit pathways mediating the retrieval of memories. In other words, it puts a stop to your brain's ability to retrieve memories as you're encoding memories.
All right.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense. It does make sense. And so on a personal level, as a young man, when you were diagnosed with problems that were of unknown origin and they were thyroid issues, what supplements did you use to correct that problem?
Sure, we can talk about them right now. The acetylcholine, which I just mentioned, you can't get acetylcholine as a supplement. We have to use precursors that make acetylcholine in our system. And the two best ways to do that are either CDP choline, in Europe it's called citicoline, or alpha-GPC. I happen to prefer CDP choline. 300 milligrams of CDP choline twice a day, or 300 milligrams of alpha-GPC three times a day, that provides a choline molecule for the synthesis of acetylcholine in your brain. And it'll work within about 20 to 30 minutes. Wow. Now, there's a cofactor involved in that. Well, there's several cofactors. The main cofactor is carnitine, because carnitine is needed to make acetyl-CoA, which is part of that cycle that makes acetylcholine. So we put 500 milligrams of L-CAR, or acetyl-L-carnitine, along with 300 milligrams of CDP choline and thiamine, or vitamin B1, and vitamin B5, and we can make acetylcholine within about 20 minutes.
Well, our guest is David Toman. David is the author of a book which I enjoy and have found to be very valuable, called Head First, the second edition, talking about using nootropics to help us just be healthier. Ideas that are becoming not exactly mainstream among everyone, but are kind of maybe approaching that because the ideas work. People from direct personal experience find when they use these nutritional supplements that they work. And Dave, if I can just go back to problems with thyroid, which seems like a serious problem and a problem that affects many people. In retrospect, as a younger man, were you consuming a lot of processed sugar that may have contributed to the problem?
Probably. Okay. One of the things I decided to do when I was when that happened, I didn't see anything. I just kind of instinctively knew it, that I needed to clean up my diet. So I cut out processed foods. I cut way, way back on the sugar. I cut out anything white, like white sugar, white pasta, white rice, and tried to and just switch to things like whole foods. And it didn't happen immediately, but I soon started feeling a lot better. And that contributed to me getting my memory back, of course.
And when you said, didn't it happen immediately, would you say that within 90 days you thought, oh my goodness, this is kicking in?
Well, you feel it within the first day or two, because when you start eating cleaner, you feel better.
Right.
But when it comes to cognition, it probably takes a month or so of clean eating along with using the right supplements to for it to start affecting memory.
All righty. And other than CDP choline, what else are you really enamored with?
The other main, acetylcholine works in synergy with dopamine for learning and memory. And dopamine is, well, dopamine is used throughout our body. It's used for muscle movement. It's used for, behind a libido. And of course, it's involved in learning and memory. And, but you can't take dopamine as a supplement. You have to use a precursor to make dopamine. And the simplest and safest long-term solution to do that is L-tyrosine. Mm-hmm. 500 milligrams of L-tyrosine in the morning, another 500 milligrams of L-tyrosine at noon, and within after you take the supplement, within 20 minutes, and if you have adequate levels of vitamin B6, B9, and B12 in your system, you will make dopamine.
And when we make dopamine, what happens to us?
It works in concert or in synergy with acetylcholine to help us form memory, to help us encode memory, and then down the road, help us to retrieve those memories when we want to remember something.
And in your opinion, with tyrosine, does that kick in reasonably quickly? In other words, if a person, man, an adult, male or female, begins to use tyrosine 500 milligrams in the morning and in the evening, could they see results possibly in a week?
They would see the results in the first day.
Okay. Okay.
You can feel this stuff. These precursors make these neurotransmitters within in less than a half an hour.
All right.
So if you're really, really depleted, of course, you're going to feel it a lot more than if somebody is only a little bit deficient.
Mm-hmm.
But for something like better learning and memory, it's going to take consistent daily dosing of maybe a week or two before things get up to full speed, because your brain is readjusting.
Right. Our guest is David Toman. David Toman, regular contributor to the show. And David Toman is the author of Head First, Second Edition, which talks about using nootropics to help us just be healthier. David, how can listeners of Here's to Your Health contact you to find out about more about your book and your consultations?
Sure. The simplest way is go to Nootropics Expert. That's Nootropics, like living down in the tropics, nootropicsexpert.com. That's my website. Or you can go to YouTube and just Google, or just search, use the search function for Nootropics Expert. It'll come up right away. Or David Toman and Nootropics Expert will come up. And I've got contact information in the right sidebar and up in the main menu. It's easy to get a hold of me. I offer personal consultations. There's a free book that you can download, Secrets of the Optimized Brain, by subscribing to my newsletter. And then, of course, Head First, the second edition that we talked about earlier.
Right. Well, I tell you, I find the subject is fascinating, and you seem to have a very good understanding of the subject. Now, other than tyrosine at 500 milligrams twice a day, what else have you found to be very valuable?
DHA, which is an omega-3. Most people are deficient in omega-3s. But DHA is part of our brain cell membranes. So we need healthy brain cell membranes to keep them permeable, just so the good stuff like water and oxygen and nutrients can get into the cell, and the garbage and toxins can get back out of the cell. And if we're deficient in something like DHA, or any of the other lipids like phosphatidylserine or phosphatidylcholine, that cell membrane loses its permeability. Mm-hmm. And what that means is brain cell signaling slows down. And how that manifests in everyday life is you can't think on your feet. Your response time to things is slower. Short-term and working memory suffers. Verbal fluidity suffers. So we need 1,000 milligrams a day of DHA. And the other one that a lot of people are deficient in is just magnesium, because magnesium is a cofactor in the synthesis of all of these major neurotransmitters, including dopamine and acetylcholine. If you don't have enough magnesium, you cannot make acetylcholine or dopamine.
Hmm. And our guest is David Toman, author of Head First, second edition, which is, I suggest we all read. It's very nicely done. And David, how do we get magnesium? What's your recommendation?
That's a good question, Josh. We need any of the minerals that we use need to be chelated, or in other words, organic. So magnesium oxide or magnesium citrate is not going to get into your brain very easily.
Okay.
So we need something like magnesium L-threonate is a good option, or magnesium biglycinate or magnesium glycinate or magnesium taurate. Any of these chelated forms of magnesium rapidly get into your brain and go to work.
All righty. And are there any food sources of magnesium you would like to focus on?
I can't, right off the top of my head, I'd have to take a look at my notes of what magnesium comes from. I actually wrote an article called Nootropic Foods,
right,
that details where each one of these nutrients, the food that is responsible for each one of these nutrients. And I'm actually sending out a newsletter today.
All righty, because I know magnesium is very abundant. I know magnesium is very good for muscle cramping. That I know. And also it's very good for relaxation, helps you feel more relaxed. And some people use magnesium, keeps their bowels open. So magnesium is, you know, really kind of a foundation item.
Here we go. Yeah. Green leafy vegetables, beans, nuts, seeds, whole grains, poultry, beef, salmon, and water.
Oh, great. All foods then. Foods, yeah. Natural foods, yeah. Well, okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That all sounds real good. That sounds very good. No, Dave, I tell you, your book, Head First, Second Edition, I enjoy very much. Our guest, for those just tuning into the show, our guest is David Toman, and David works with nootropics. And our conversation today has been how to improve memory and concentration at any age. Again, Dave Toman is our guest. Dave, how can listeners of Here's to Your Health contact you? Give us that contact info once again.
Go to Nootropics Expert. That's Nootropics with an S. expert.com, and that's my website, and you'll find links to my books there. You'll find links to my YouTube channel there. You'll find a way to contact me there, so it's easy to hunt me down.
Well, that sounds very good. By the way, I want the listeners to know that I've watched a number of Dave's videos, and they're really good. And the book Head First, I think the title, by the way, is, it's a great title. And the book is very nicely done. And I'm very happy that Dave Toman, is a regular contributor to the show. This is Josh Lane. You're listening to Here's to Your Health. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back after these important messages.
Medical scientists worldwide are encouraging people to eat more fish. And most American diets are low in important omega-3 oils. Omega-3 oils are the vital components of fish that provide numerous health benefits. Carlson Elite Omega-3 Gems supply concentrated amounts of these omega-3 oils that are needed to support vision, brain function, and a healthy heart. Each great-tasting Carlson Elite Omega-3 Gem Soft Gel contains 1,250 milligrams of fish oil from deep, cold-water fish. That supplies a full 800 milligrams of omega-3s, all in only one easy-to-swallow soft gel. You can take Carlson fish oils with confidence, for they are tested for purity, potency, and freshness by an independent FDA-registered laboratory. Ask for Carlson Elite Omega-3 Gems at your favorite natural food retailer today.
the latest from the greatest, the best in new music by classic rockers, with your host, the insane Daryl Wayne.
This is Alice Cooper, and if Daryl Wayne is insane, what does that make me? Criminally insane. Stick around to find out.
Many of the artist interviews for the latest from the greatest have been captured on audiobook. There is a volume one and volume two. Great information and conversations with people in the industry and people surrounded by the industry, and of course the rock stars themselves.
I'm the Reverend Al Green, and you're listening to the insane Daryl Wayne. And I said Wayne Insane.
You can find it on Amazon or Blackstone Audio. Search for The Latest from the Greatest from Daryl Wayne, DarrellWayne.
Hello, this is Weird Al Yankovic, and you're listening to the insane Daryl Wayne, aren't you?
Welcome to this edition of Here's to Your Health. I'm your host, Josh Lane. The conversation of beauty, how to have beautiful skin, how to keep ourselves healthy, is a topic that everyone likes to hear about. And I'm happy to say my guest is Michelle Hamerton. Michelle Hamerton is the founder, the president of the Ancient Essence, Frankincense, and Myrrh Company. And Michelle Hamerton is the person who convinced me, a long time ago now, to use frankincense and myrrh. I knew of them, but had never used them, had no direct personal experience. And I have found on a personal level that using frankincense or using myrrh is fantastic to improve the quality of your skin. If you have beautiful skin, you just use frankincense and myrrh and your skin is even more beautiful. If your skin is not your best feature, as it's not for me, the frankincense and myrrh has really improved the quality of my skin, and I am indebted to Michelle Hamerton. Michelle, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Josh, and thanks for having me on today.
Oh, I appreciate it. I enjoy your subject, and frankly, frankincense and myrrh are very important essential oils that, I don't know, I always kind of think that they are the number one and number two. Of course, many essential oils are very good for us, for sure. But frankincense and myrrh are widely used. How did you first begin to use frankincense and myrrh?
Well, it started a long time ago. And while I'm thinking of that, just to come off of something you just said, a lot of essential oils, you can hurt yourself with them if you get in too much, especially if you're ingesting them. Frankincense and myrrh happen to be two oils that are not harmful, even if they're taken straight without diluting them topically. So it would depend on a person's skin type. How I got started was this. When my daughter was about 4 or 5 years old, and we're going back about 25 years now, she was lying on my bed with the flu, breathing, congested, heavy breathing, fever, swollen glands, and she's asleep. And I'm looking at this child thinking, what am I going to do to help her? Well, a while back, someone had given me a small vial of my frankincense and myrrh. And I thought, you know what? Something's telling me I should be getting that oil and rubbing it on her swollen glands. It was like that. That's how it happened. When I put the oil on her, in about 10 minutes' time, the swelling of the glands went down, and her fever went down. So I was like, wow, that's wonderful. That worked so quickly. So then I thought, okay, well, let me take a little bit and rub it on her chest and on her back like I would do with Vicks normally to see if that would help. And sure enough, I checked on her another 10, 20 minutes later after that, and her breathing had cleared up. So about a day or two later, she was back to normal, and it would usually take this child a good week to get over something like that. So I was like, wow. And then I started doing the research, and I found out that frankincense and myrrh were the top traded commodities of the ancient world, and they used it for everything from health to beauty to crop, you know, to keep pests away from the crops, for bugs, pests, you know, in the house, and just all kinds of things, not to mention preservation of skin. So it helps your skin. It's also used it for preservation of bodies when they died, like an embalming. And they also used it as preservation of their meats, because remember, they had no refrigeration thousands of years ago, and they would like to travel long distances to get things, you know, and import things. So they would use frankincense and myrrh, as particularly myrrh in this case, to preserve their foods as they traveled. So that was a very eye-opening event. And I found out also that frankincense and myrrh were both traded weight for weight with gold. They were that valuable because they had so many different applications.
Wow. Well, that's remarkable. Our guest is Michelle Hamerton. Michelle Hamerton, the president, the founder of the Ancient Essence Frankincense and Myrrh Company. I use Michelle's frankincense and myrrh. It's excellent quality. And I have, on a personal level, found that both frankincense and myrrh have been very good for my skin. Michelle, for those listeners of Here's to Your Health who are thinking of using frankincense and myrrh, how do we apply it? Let's say male, female, doesn't matter. You're going to use it. You got a little spot on your hands or on your forehead or, you know, something you're not happy with. How do we use it?
Okay. You know, as I was mentioning earlier, if you have very, very fine, white, delicate kind of skin, you might want to dilute it with a little bit of, let's say, maybe an olive oil, a coconut oil, avocado oil, maybe even water, you know, but you might want to dilute it before you use it straight on your skin because it might burn. You could try to, you know, try a small patch on the inside of your wrist to see how your skin reacts to it first before you put it on. But I know, Josh, you're pretty light-skinned yourself, and you were able to apply it straight on. Did you have any trouble like that?
No, I had zero trouble.
Did you have to dilute it?
No, no trouble.
Yeah.
And I followed your advice, by the way. I did not use any carrier oil. I just put it on, and I hate to say it, but the next day, I know what my face looks like. I look at it every day in the mirror, and I thought, oh, my God, that looks better. I couldn't believe it. I thought, whoa. And I kept using it, not every day, by the way, but on a regular basis. And it dramatically improved the quality of my skin. And I thought, wow, I was impressed. I was impressed on a practical level. I thought, good, because I want to have beautiful skin like everybody else. And I had little wounds that I had for a long time. We're talking, you know, decades that healed using frankincense and myrrh on them topically. I mean, I had them for a long, long time, and they got 95% better. And that's just amazing because I'm not 21 any longer. So I am, because of you, I'm using frankincense and myrrh regularly, and I really can't say enough good stuff about frankincense and myrrh. That's from my own direct personal experience, and also when I recommend it to friends and family, they say, well, Josh, you were right about that.
You know something? I have to tell you that about 10 years ago, I got like a little bump on my near the neck, on the décolletage, I would say, you know, of my chest, the upper chest, the flat surface, but it was like a little black speck, but it was maybe the size of maybe like, say, a lentil, okay? It wasn't huge. Right. And it was a little bit raised, and I had never noticed it before, and it was a little bit itchy. And I didn't know what it was, and I didn't really want to go and get scared by finding out. So I put some of it on my own skin, and I made sure that I did it like every day because, of course, like you said, you look at yourself every day in the mirror, so I would be reminded to make sure I put it on there. And you know, that thing fell off. I don't know if it took about a week or two, but it was gone and it never came back. So I have to say, I kind of almost forgot about that until you just mentioned your experience and it kind of reminded me, you know. So I don't use it on my face every day. I wish I did, but I just don't take care of myself that well. But I'm going to start doing it. I swear I am, because I'm getting older now too. And I'm not starting to notice some age spots here and there. So I'm going to have to start being a little bit more diligent myself.
Our guest is Michelle Hamerton, the president, the founder of the Ancient Essence Frankincense and Myrrh Company. Now, Michelle, this little black spot that was the size of a lentil that around the neck area that you put the frankincense on topically and it fell off. So how does that area look now? Is it clear and looks good?
It is, yes. Right. I don't see anything there now. Nothing at all.
Right. And by the way, I those kind of stories, you know, they work for me. I mean I get it. I have experiences like that too with family and friends and myself. I guess maybe some people might be a little shocked to hear that, but you know, these are very healing oils. Now, frankincense and myrrh, so what do they do for us specifically? I mean, what is the action on the body when you're using medicinal oils, essential oils? They have different properties. So what's the properties of frankincense and of myrrh?
Yeah, so we've had very, very little research done with them that we know about in recent times. However, what we do know is that there was a doctor, two doctors actually. One was an American doctor, and I think it was the University of Oklahoma, if I'm not mistaken. And the other was a Middle Eastern doctor, and they collaborated and did some studies with frankincense, particularly frankincense separately from myrrh. Anybody that wants to research it themselves can go to pubmed.gov, mm-hmm. P as in publish, pub, and then med as in medical, pubmed.gov, G-O-V, and you can just type in frankincense or myrrh into the little search bar there, and you'll find dozens of doctors from all over the world that have used either one of them for all kinds of cancers and other kinds of treatments where this stuff has really worked well, you know, and they've had good results with it. So we don't have a whole lot of information about it, but what we do know that is antiviral, antitumoral, anti-cancer, antiseptic, antibacterial, antifungal, all those antis of the bad stuff seems to ring true for frankincense and myrrh. And another thing that I've noticed in my own experience is that because we've been selling it to the mom and pop health food stores around the country for, you know, two decades now and plus. So if you visit a small health food store or, you know, a small shop and you'd like to see them carry it in there so you don't pay shipping fees, go ahead and tell them to look up Ancient Essence and see if they want to get some in their shop. But what we've noticed, the anecdotal feedback we've gotten from stores is the customers come in and tell them that, you know, they've used it topically on maybe a lip tumor, a neck tumor, and everything goes away, you know, so that's the great news. And also that the myrrh itself seems to work better with digestive issues, and the frankincense is much better for people that have perhaps maybe like an asthma or something. They're both very good for the respiratory system, but it seems like for people that have allergies and asthma, the frankincense by itself seemed to work better. So most of our information is through those anecdotal stories that we've heard down through the years. And besides myself, there's a lot of other people that have found great relief from all kinds of things using the frankincense and myrrh.
Our guest is Michelle Hamerton. Michelle Hamerton, the president, the founder of the Ancient Essence Frankincense and Myrrh Company. Now, Michelle, so what are some of the things that we can use frankincense and or myrrh to do for us besides, you know, beautiful skin and also respiratory stuff? Now, those are very important. What else can we use it for?
Yeah, so I would like to start with maybe some younger people because, you know, they have a lot of problems with acne because maybe of the diet, you know, every other commercial, if it's not a pharmaceutical drug, it's a hamburger. You know, it's right. Like you're bombarded with all this horrible information about what to eat these days. And so, you know, a lot of our young people are eating a lot of burgers and fries and fried foods and things that maybe aren't the best thing for your skin. Well, all those toxins have to come out somewhere. And with the young people, they seem to come out through the skin. You and I both know we were young. We both had bad skin when we were growing up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I find now that if you take the frankincense, and you don't have to use a lot of it either. This goes a long way. And you just put a few drops in a small little container of water, and you shake it up really hard, and then you just take a cotton ball and just dab it around on your face. Not only will your face smell fantastic and feel so clean, but it will heal up those blemishes. So I would think that you should try to use it and see if it will help to heal up your own blemishes as well, like it has done for many others, including myself. I like to use it on my face because it just feels that good, you know?
Right, right. So in other words, both men and women can use frankincense on a regular basis in very small quantities to just make the skin healthier. And healthier, I guess, translates to beauty, doesn't it? Because health and beauty kind of run together.
Yes, that's right. And then for the older people, if you happen to have a spot like we did, mm-hmm. then you put it directly on, you know. But I'm telling you, if you put it on broken skin, like a teenager tries to put on a pillow, it's going to sting a little bit, but it's because it's antiseptic. It'll definitely, you know, stop any kind of an infection from developing further. But, you know, you're going to feel it a little. It's going to burn a little bit maybe, you know. But other than that, it's going to be fine for it. Well, even if you use other things that are on the market, there's a lot of them that will burn the skin too, like retinol and things like that. They don't feel so good when you put them on. But, you know, these are things that are going to maybe help your skin a lot better to heal. So, yeah.
Right, right. Yeah, I've just had great results with the frankincense and or myrrh. And every once in a while, if I put it on a particular spot, it might sting ever so slightly, and then it goes away. You know, I didn't actually realize it was, what, you said antibacterial, antiviral?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Works fantastic. Our guest is Michelle Hamerton, the president, the founder of the Ancient Essence Frankincense and Myrrh Company, and great company. And Michelle is the person who convinced me to use, rather than just read about, but to use frankincense and myrrh. Michelle, how can listeners of Here's to Your Health contact you and purchase their frankincense and myrrh directly from the Ancient Essence Company?
Yeah, so we have a website, and of course we're on the social media platforms as well. But I think if you just go to the ancientessence.com website, you'll be able to see all the products that we have. The frankincense and myrrh are definitely the most therapeutic, but we do have other scents if you'd like to try a little bit of frankincense or a little bit of myrrh with something that smells real nice. We've got, I think there's about 16 other original blends that I've come up with, and actually my grandson came up with one of them. It's called Apollo, and he's only 9 years old now. He developed this when he was 7. Out of all the people in my family, believe it or not, it's my grandson who seems to have taken after grandma and seems to like to mix up the oils and stuff.
Well, that's nice.
But we came up with a lot of other scents that are also quite popular. One that's called Prema Love is mostly myrrh, and it's worn by men and women both. So it has a very earthy quality to it and a wonderful smell. The way I came up with the name of Prema Love was because I took this mixture that I made to one of the trade shows. I used to do trade shows all the time when we were young in business, you know. And one of the customers from one of the health food stores says, "Oh, that smells like love." And I thought, oh, okay, well, I can't just name it love. I have to have some other kind of name. So I know the word prema in Sanskrit means love. So I called it Prema Love, and it has stuck through the years. So the next one I came up with was called Shanti Peace. Because I figure we have love, we have to have peace, because now we're going into this five human values of peace and love,
Michelle,
and nonviolence.
Michelle,
and
Michelle,
right,
let me just jump in here. Unfortunately, we are simply ran out of time. My guest is my old friend, Michelle Hamerton, the president, the founder of the Ancient Essence Frankincense and Myrrh Company, who really knows the subject. And the Ancient Essence Company has some great frankincense and myrrh. This is Josh Lane. You're listening to Here's to Your Health. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back after these important messages.
The latest from the greatest, the best in new music by classic rockers, with your host, the insane Daryl Wayne.
This is Alice Cooper, and if Daryl Wayne is insane, what does that make me? Criminally insane. Stick around to find out.
Many of the artist interviews for the latest from the greatest have been captured on audiobook. There is a volume 1 and volume 2. Great information and conversations with people in the industry and people surrounded by the industry, and of course the rock stars themselves.
I'm the Reverend Al Green, and you're listening to the insane Daryl Wayne. And I said Wayne Insane.
You can find it on Amazon or Blackstone Audio. Search for The Latest from the Greatest from Daryl Wayne, DarrellWayne.
Hello, this is Weird Al Yankovic, and you're listening to the insane Daryl Wayne, aren't you?
Thank you for tuning in to this edition of Here's to Your Health with Joshua Lane. If you have any questions about the guests or topics discussed tonight, please give us a call at 818-707-0005. That number is 818-707-0005. This is Josh Lane. On behalf of the cast and crew, I would like to wish you a healthy and safe good evening.